When circuses hit the road each year to crisscross the country, they kept a record of their travels, detailing many things from the weather to meals served and more. Then, at the end of the season, they published that record in a route book, a kind of yearbook for performers, circus workers, and fans alike. Illinois State University's Milner Library's Special Collections has many of these books, of which only 400 are known to exist. The library will receive a portion of a $268,000 grant from the Council on Library and Information Resources to digitize their books, which date from 1842 through 1969. Special Collections Librarian Maureen Brunsdale and Senior Specialist Mark Schmidt are thrilled by the grant to help preserve and share the information contained within the route books. Brunsdale says the books give us intriguing details of an era gone by, which help more than just circus researchers.
Or people who's maybe have had grandparents, great-grandparents who were with the show to do their genealogical research. That makes it very easy for them to just sit at their computer and find out, oh yeah, great-grandpa was with the Hagenbeck-Wallace show in 1918, for example.
Well, what about the average Joe? Can we get online and access this too?
Absolutely. It will be made publicly available.
The circus, as you said, is a cultural phenomenon, and these books cover 1842 to 1969, a lot of changes in those years. Let's talk about some of the changes that we see in these books.
Well, you know, circus is a fantastic lens through which to learn American history. You can look at a route book, for example, and learn about weather. What was happening? What was there a tornado in Owensburg in 1910? You can look at the route book for a show that was in Owensburg in 1910, September 10th. I'm making that up, of course, but and learn that yes, there was a tornado. It killed 32 people. That kind of information. You can also learn the economy. If there was a circus that was rolling into North Dakota, harvests were tremendous. The grain fields were bountiful. Or they went into another small town where there was a local economic depression. Maybe there was a strike that was going in the cotton producing community. Just a wealth of information is contained within these route books.
So it's not just the circus and how the circus was run. I mean, it's a little microcosm of life in America.
And you also get things like going from being a wagon show, so actually going in a wooden wagon across the land, and then shows moving from that model to using the rail, and so having a wider route to go, and you just over time that you can get a sense of what was more profitable, the areas that they would go into and the areas they hated. Most shows hated Texas.
Why?
They hated Texas. The bill posters and things like that would always talk about, like, there's something called the advance team that would come in before. And you learn about the advance team through a route book, too.
What does the advance team do?
The advance team goes in a couple weeks before a show, and they would put up all the posters, and they would get all the lot contracts and water contracts and grease all the palms that needed to be greased if the town constable needed an extra set of tickets to make everything run more smooth. Like, that's what would happen. And
they were the fixers.
They were completely the fixers before the show would roll in. And they hated Texas because it seemed like they were treated poorly and the deals that they struck weren't always solid deals. So they would end up paying twice in some instances.
Let's take a look at some of the books.
Yeah,
I would like to see some examples of some information in the book that is just something that we don't really hear about anymore, something that's lost to time.
Well, these are examples of route books that we have pulled before you. You can see we have Ringling route books and Barnum and Bailey route books and Adam Forepaugh, Sells Brother route books, things that I think are kind of magical.
And these are around the turn of the 20th century.
Yeah, all these are. This Barnum and Bailey route book, for example, from 1894, it's a wonderful resource that tells us, you know, the information here, the types of information you can get here. Always in this particular example, you're going to get what kind of weather they had, what kind of business they had. But as you look through it, you're going to see names and things that are happening. For example, on page 15 and 16, the Ethnological Congress. So where their performers are coming from. And that is fascinating because, of course, you see Armenians, Australians, Burmese, Cossacks.
Cossacks.
Yeah, Egyptians. But then you see this, you know,
Eskimos.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it really was a way of bringing not only exotic animals, which we're kind of used to realizing that circuses would bring exotic animals into a community, but exotic people as well. And you can see who is with the show. Of course, they're buglers, their band, their concert company.
A confectionery department.
Yes.
Menagerie stands.
Mm-hmm. There's a name here that you might be tickled to see.
Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Was a trapeze artist.
Right?
Harry
Isn't
Potter and the Magical Trapeze.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes, and actually in our collection, we have letterhead from Harry Potter, and it looks like a Quidditch at the top. And it's absolutely fantastic. I keep waiting for someone to come in and say, let me do research on Harry Potter. And I can say, yeah, we have that. But it's really, really kind of neat. And I know Mark has pulled some other.
Yeah, here's one from 1899 that says The Great Wallace Shows. Oh, they've got a chandelier department.
Mm-hmm.
Razorbacks. Razorbacks? What is a razorback, Mark?
Not exactly sure either.
Okay, like, there's stuff in here that we just don't know.
I would say razorback might be like a roustabout.
Yeah.
What is a roustabout?
A roustabout would be sort of like the working men who put up the tent and then just about anything else being generally useful. You always see in their contracts that they have to be generally useful. So
this is a little something lost to time. Razorbacks.
Yes. So in Oswego, New York, Monday, June 12th, it explains what kind of lot it was, all of that, but more importantly that Jean Durand gave a boating party to a few of his friends Sunday. And it is, in quotes, whispered about that Jean is soon to embark on the matrimonial boat with one of the fair ladies with the show.
And it says, success go with you, Jean, if you do take the step. That's charming.
But that's a major difference right there between the Great Wallace Shows and, let's say, Ringling Brothers.
So Ringling wouldn't get that personal?
Ringling wouldn't want the commingling of single performers.
Well, then they could get more little performers.
Well, that's a problem, right? Because then you have to have medical care.
But it was one of the laws with Ringling that you couldn't do that. But people, of course, Clyde Noble from Bloomington was in the Flying Fishers, and he was on Ringling with the Flying Fishers, of course. And Emily Vecchi, who was with the Kaufman Bicycle Troupe, she was English. They were all on Ringling Brothers around the turn of the century, and they had to have a secret love affair. And so he would, on the sly, give her boxes of chocolates. And if you were caught in a relationship on Ringling, they would throw you off the show eventually.
Oh, that was brutal.
And so eventually the Kaufman Bicycle Troupe went back to Europe and they were working. And he eventually proposed to her through the mail. He sent an engagement ring to her in Germany and she accepted. And she came back to Bloomington and they were here for the longest time. So.
Do we have any other Bloomington Circus connections in these books that you've found?
We do. Minnie Fisher was a Bloomingtonian, actually married to Charles Noble, the brother of Clyde Noble. And Minnie Fisher is someone who is represented time and time again in some of these route books, which this is the Ringling Brothers route book of 1897, where you have wonderful photos so that the fan or the enthusiast can reunite, relive what they perhaps saw, the contortionists in this example.
He looked like a snake.
He did, yeah. He was dressed like that as well. But in this particular September 24th, okay.
Wellington, Kansas.
Yes, Wellington, Kansas. A change in the route that year brought the show to Wellington one day earlier than originally billed. Charles Fisher, one of the Fisher family of aerialists, is pronounced ill with typhoid fever and remains in Wellington, Kansas, attended by his wife. So then we know that he had to get off the show because he had typhoid fever. That's another aspect that's covered in these route books is the medical problems. You know, sometimes, of course, in this case, it's typhoid fever, but hoof and mouth disease was a definite problem for some of the animals when they were touring. And there would be quarantines where they'd have to quarantine the animals or they couldn't go into a particular community because something was, they had an outbreak of something in that community.
I hope Charles Fisher got better.
He did. He did get better. Minnie Fisher went on to have a, you know, decades long, gosh, she was in show business for about 50 years. She divorced Charles, but continue to have a magnificent career.
So did the Council on Library and Information Resources give you guys props for your work? By giving you this?
Yeah. I think they really did. I think they realized perhaps that circus really is an important and often overlooked thing in this country, and digitizing it and making it available will increase the awareness of this wonderful thing called circus.
Well, we just had the news just recently that Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus will be closing in May.
Yeah.
And does this add additional poignancy to your work with digitizing these route books?
Yeah, I think it makes it actually more important. We are tasked, we have the great fortune of being tasked with preserving circus history. And when you think of circuses, it's hard for anyone to think, not to think of Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus. Being around for 146 years is a tremendous period of time, and it's
an unprecedented achievement.
It is. It absolutely is. I'm often asked these days, do I think circus is dying? I do not think circus is dying. I think this is an opportunity for other owners, perhaps, other people to step up and help redefine circus. What we have learned through these route books and through working with circus for a number of years now is that it's always adapting, it's always changing. And I think perhaps that this is going to force that issue again.
That's Maureen Brunsdale and Mark Schmidt from the Special Collections at Illinois State University's Milner Library. They say it will likely take a couple of years to digitize the route books before they'll be available to the public. I'm Laura Kennedy.